So these are different kind of penguins?
Yes. Welcome back, listeners. I hope you've been enjoying the sounds of Weddell seals from McMurdo Sound. And we're now at the edge of Ross Island at Cape Bird, a colony of 160,000 Adélie penguins.
160,000?
That's another extraordinary aspect to Antarctica, is the tremendous concentrations of single species.
No, not too many humans.
No, humans are definitely in a very, very small minority.
And no indigenous ones, really.
No, there really is no indigenous human population, and doesn't seem to be any trace of any either. Yeah. I think the first Western explorers came in as recently as just a few hundred years ago. So this is a colony of Adélie penguins, and they're sitting on eggs. This was recorded just before hatching, and keeping the eggs warm and guarding them against predation by skuas, which are very large gull-like birds that swoop down. And they're very smart. They work in tandem, often distracting a penguin, working in pairs. And one will distract and the other one will steal the egg.
How do they distract?
A display. They'll fly up to them, lure them, try to lure them away from the nest or peck at them, while another one will fly from another direction and then pick off an egg. So it's the mortality from egg to chick is extremely high. It's, you look at the rookery, it's just littered with eggshells and, you know, freeze-dried chicks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's amazing, teeming with life, but also death right there. And the sight of 160,000 of these birds is really overwhelming. It's like a city on the edge of the ice. So we're just hearing, this is recorded about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The sun was at a real low angle. And these are just the kind of rumble and murmurings and stirrings of a rookery. And there's a lot of traffic in pebbles, because penguins build nests. These Adélies build these beautiful donut-shaped nests out of pebbles, and they're constantly picking pebbles from one another's nests to pad their own. So looking around this colony, you see tremendous traffic and purloined pebbles from one nest to another.
Do they get angry at each other?
A lot of what you're hearing, little agitated squawks, are chasing other penguins off from looting their stash of pebbles.
Well, are the pebbles hard to come by?
They are, yeah. And just the right ones. You see them combing through rocks to find just the right shape, and they go to great extent. And it's a certain point of pride, too. There's nothing more exciting than to watch a reunion of an Adélie penguin with its mate, who very often is out feeding. They alternate on the nest, male and female. But they can be gone a long time. I think the longest recorded wait at a nest was 58 days.
Oh, my God.
That's almost 2 months.
And that's a long time.
Yeah. The ones that are there watching the egg lose a lot of weight, over 50% of their body weight.
Well, how long is the gestation?
You know, I can't remember offhand. I used to have that on top of my mind,
like,
but it's gone.
A few months?
It's a few months, yeah. Huh. Yeah. And so they'll wait patiently and guard the egg, but there's a wonderful reunion when the mate comes back all fat and shiny from the sea. And the mate, they do a wonderful display and wrap their necks around each other and call, and there's showing off the egg. Look, I didn't lose the egg, and the nest repair to be done, and the changing of the guard, and then the other bird goes off to feed at sea for a while, and they take turns in a very, very short breeding season.
How long were you there the last time?
A couple of months. Yeah, a couple of months into the late spring and early summer.
And how many times have you been there?
Only once.
Only once?
Yeah, I would love to go back.
So you're going to be back? Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to go back to a different part of the continent.
So we'll was this, you were saying, unless you want to wait and talk after, but I definitely want you to tell a story, maybe right when it's finished, about when you first got there, you were so excited that you just stayed up for days and days because it never gets dark anyway. So you stayed up for about 3 days, and then you fell
then
asleep
you
for about...
Yeah. You sleep 16, 20 hours, and then get up and do it all over again.
And then didn't your hair freeze to your... You had your headphones on.
Oh, yeah,
and
good
I love that. Yeah. Well, I love that story. Well, you talk about the bad hair day.
Oh, yeah, bad hair day was all the time. The wet look, as they say, is in permanently down there. Well, you go out into field camps, and you don't bathe for days or weeks at a time. And you're just grateful that you can generate enough oils to keep yourself warm beneath your parkas and thermal underwear and everything. So it's a challenging work environment, to say the least.
So what was that story? You fell asleep with the headphones. You woke up and your hair was frozen to your face?
My beard had frozen into the sleeping bag zipper. So I had a sort of a half a sheet of ice over my face. But grooving on these amazing sounds... And speaking of amazing sounds, what we're listening to now are the sounds of a glacier moving and the expanding and contracting of ice. This is from within the glacier, using a hydrophone placed inside the ice. So let's listen for just a little bit. We're listening to wind harps from the McMurdo Dry Valleys. These were a series of guitar strings, piano wire, harpsichord wire, tied to stones and connected to little piezoelectric transducers. So a lot of microtonal shifting as the eddies of wind pass over them.
So you're not listening to animals?
No.
Or fabulous birds? These are wind harps. Pretty fabulous. Anything else?
Just so people are wondering, what is that? It's wind harps. I was told that wind is a very prominent feature down there, and sure it is.
You're listening to Crack O' Dawn, by the way. First Thursday of the month is Crack O' Dawn with Barb. And this morning, is Doug Quinn, who just came back from Antarctica. So we were going to do fancy crossfade to some wonderful whistlers, which will maybe Doug will be able to unsnarl it. But the sounds that you heard, the boom was, I think, some ice breaking, but you were not cut out to sea on a little ice flow, were you? you're here.
No, I'm still here to tell the tale.
I was thinking of some Charlie Chaplin kind of thing.
Exactly,
you know?
drifting off to New Zealand or something. No, we kept pretty good care of ourselves out there, and we're always looking around and beat a hasty retreat when the wind picked up and we heard a little too many of those sounds. So I apologize, we can't get the whistlers up, but we'll work on that tape. The machine had an appetite for tapes, so...
What should we listen to? I'll get the whatever CD you
I thought get. We would listen to a piece that was composed for choreographer Tish Carter and premiered at the Spoleto Festival, and it's called Touch Me Not, Towers, Wheels, and Other Saintly Relics. And this is a foursome of saints. The piece was... dedicated to Mary Magdalene, St. Catherine of Alexandria, St. Barbara, and St. Lucy, and their various saintly attributes became the focus of a wonderful dance performance and performance work that premiered at the Spoleto Festival in 1994. So these are selections of soundscape and music for dance, including things recorded at the Church of Mary Magdalene at Vézelay in France in her crypt. And the piece begins listening to the sounds of people walking and talking in a crypt, a father describing to his daughter who Mary Magdalene was. And then we cut over to St. Catherine, and St. Barbara, patron saint of artillery and gunners, and St. Lucy, patron saint of eyesight. So this is Touch Me Not, towers, wheels, and other saintly relics.
So we end with footsteps. What a wonderful, wonderful sounds. That was Touch Me Not, Towers, Wheels, and Other Saintly Relics by composer Douglas Quinn. And I'm really happy to hear this because, and pleasantly surprised because I had just glommed onto the penguins and sounds from Antarctica, and that I thought that you were, nature sound recordist, which you are, but also a wonderful composer. So what
well,
a treat.
Thank you, well, thank you very much. Yep, music for the Tish Carter Dance Company.
So that was premiered at Spoleto in Charleston in May 94. And mm-hmm. You said it's been in Amsterdam and all over the place?
Yes, I sort of lost track of it, but mm-hmm. I think it's
things take on a life of their own.
A life of their own, exactly. Yeah. So launched them into the universe mm-hmm. and involved making recordings at the Church of Mary Magdalene and Vézelay, a pilgrimage center in central France. So it was field work I certainly couldn't complain about.
Mm-hmm. It's a rough job that someone has to do.
Exactly.
That where the footsteps were?
Yes, exactly. The footsteps were in the crypt of the cathedral.
And there were some vultures in St. Lucy's part, was it?
St. Catherine's. The sort of persecution. Thank you. message.